Instagram stories for Saturday, February 28th. I'm your host, Daniel Hill, and this is the weekend edition of the Instagram stories. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the different kinds of accounts that are on Instagram. Private, personal with at least 1,000 followers, professional, and professional account with at least 1,000 followers. Those are different from business accounts. We're going to get into all of that along with a link to a grid that can help you understand the differences between all those types of accounts. We'll also talk about the new Instagram for TV that's expanding to Google TV devices and Threads rolling out a new DM shortcut where when you type DM me into a Threads post, it becomes a hyperlink and people can click on it to send you a DM on Threads. Also, Ashley Coffey and I talk about some AI news, specifically focused on an app that lets you detect if people are using smart glasses within your immediate vicinity. All of that and more on today's episode, but first, a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Let's start with a couple of quick hits of news. The head of Instagram, Adam Mosseri, posted on Threads, quote, "We're expanding Instagram for TV to Google TV devices starting in the United States today. Excited to bring this experience to more TVs and hear what you think as we continue to make it better," end quote. As a reminder, back in December, Instagram added Instagram for TV to Amazon Fire TV devices so that you could watch reels on the big screen. Since YouTube has performed so well on the big screen, it makes sense that Instagram would want to get some of that market share. I personally use a Roku and I also have a Samsung television. So as soon as the Instagram for television app is available for either of those two platforms, I will be able to test it out myself. Let's stay on the Instagram topic for a quick minute and get into a @creators post that was recently made with respect to all the kinds of accounts that there are on Instagram. This post starts off with an announcement, but I'll get into more detail and explain the background. The announcement from the @creators account is, quote, "Now all public accounts will have access to a set of foundational tools and insights to support your creative process, including an insights dashboard to see how your content is performing. Upgrading to a professional account provides access to monetization and ad tools," end quote. When I read that, I was a little bit confused because number one, we've had an insights dashboard for probably 10 years at this point, maybe longer, where you can see how your content is performing. And additionally, what is the difference between a regular account that creators have and a professional account? I was not aware that there really was a specific difference. There's a chart that the @creators account provided in this post, which I will link to in the show notes. And they explain it as four different account types. The first is a personal account. The second is a personal account with at least 1,000 followers. The third is a professional account. And the fourth is a professional account with at least 1,000 followers. All right, so what's the difference between these account types? All of them get the insights dashboard, all of them get access to trending audio, and all of them get the ability to schedule content. Where things are different are in the categories of trial reels, channels, going live on Instagram, and monetization and ad tools. I'm not going to get into all the nuances here. I'm going to link to this graphic so you can see it for yourself. It explains it a lot better. Otherwise, I'd just be reading the chart to you and it's very confusing. I think the most important thing to know is if you have a personal account, you have to have at least 1,000 followers for trial reels to get access to channels and the ability to go live on Instagram. If you have a professional account, you need at least 200 followers for access to trial reels. And then you can also get access to the monetization and ad tools. A professional account with at least 1,000 followers gets the most access. Trial reels, channels, Instagram Live, monetization, and ad tools. That is actually the category my account is in. If you want access to some of these tools and you don't have them, go check and see which category you are in. Again, I will link to how to find this entire graphic in the show notes. Now let's move on to a quick hit of Threads news. Threads is rolling out a new DM shortcut to users in the United States and Canada. DM me is a new feature that automatically hyperlinks the phrase DM me in any post or reply, allowing people to message you with a single tap. It looks pretty cool when you see it in a Threads post. You just tap on the hyperlinked blue letters that say DM me, It takes you right to your inbox and composes a message to the person who you were looking to correspond with. I think this is a great idea, and hopefully it opens up more conversations on Threads and eventually leads them to adding a DM inbox on the web version, because not all the time do I want to respond to DMs on my phone. All right, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ashley Coffey and I are going to dive into some AI news, including an app that lets you detect if people around you are wearing smart glasses. Stick around. Welcome back. Here's Ashley Coffey and I talking about some AI news, specifically around smart glasses. This app will detect people who are wearing smart glasses near you. A little bit of background. I think we all understand that being recorded is just part of our lives now, whether we like it or not. If you see someone with their phone pointed at you, you can tell if they're recording or not generally, but people who have smart glasses may be recording you without your consent. Let's talk about this new app, Nearby Glasses. Basically, it tells you if people are wearing smart glasses near your location. It scans for distinctive Bluetooth signatures and identifies them if they're in your immediate area. The developer used a directory of Bluetooth low energy manufacturers so that he could build a list of smart glasses that the app could scan for, which would include Meta, Snap, Luxottica, and other companies. If the app spots one of these smart glasses in your area, it sends you a push notification. If this sounds too good to be true, there are some downsides. First, the app can't currently distinguish between smart glasses and mixed reality headsets. So you might get an alert, there's smart glasses nearby, but it's a person who's using their Meta Quest headset, for instance. I mean, obviously, the Meta Quest headset looks completely different from the smart glasses, yeah. So you would be able to see. But just the fact is that it can't differentiate yet. This app is available for Android now, and an iOS version is coming in the future. I think this is a great idea. I think this is something I could see corporations paying for, especially if they're concerned about security and who's entering their physical location. Ashley, what are your thoughts?
I'm really glad that you picked this, Daniel, because last week, Mark Zuckerberg and his legal team went into a jury trial, which is like the first of its kind to happen. And it will set a precedent for what's going to happen in the future for social media companies like Meta. And they walked in, and not just Mark Zuckerberg, but his entire legal team had Meta Ray-Bans on. What's the problem with that? We all know Meta has facial recognition capabilities. They haven't deployed it yet because they're quote unquote waiting for a particular political situation to happen. So the fact that it exists means that they can use it. And what can you do with smart glasses? You can profile people, facial recognition. So they were looking at facial recognition of the jurors, and that's a slippery slope. The judge found out what they were doing and shut it down. He didn't really find out. He just saw that they were wearing Meta Ray-Bans and assumed nefarious means and made them take it off, which is a really important indication that we need policy and legislation or something to happen quickly. I'm going to share something on the screen just really quick for everyone that's watching. And I'll put the link to this in our show notes. But there are over 50 headsets out there on the market right now. And it's not just Meta Ray-Bans. There's a lot of them. So Meta Ray-Bans are typically the ones that have the most press right now because they're most widely accessible at the most reasonable price point of about $250, $300. You can see the price point of all of these different smart glasses. They range anywhere from $200 to $1,200 and up. Some of them are available in the US, some aren't. So I share that to help people understand that it's not just Meta. I'm not taking up for them, but I want people to know that there are a lot of different ones out there on the market. So again, I'll share that in the show notes if you're not watching this, but I think it's really important for us to think through what are the implications of this happening. And remember that smart glasses can be used for the benefit, but they can also be used nefariously, just like phones, just like guns, just like nuclear weapons. So I do feel like we're moving towards a system in which privacy is an illusion. But at the same time, my argument is, what is any different than someone carrying around their phone versus smart glasses? Like with smart glasses, I can immediately see there are two cameras. And with my Meta Ray-Bans, I always tell people, I'm not constantly recording. If I take a picture, this is what it looks like, and a flash goes off. If I take a video, it's persistent. And if any of that is covered, it won't take a video. And there's education there around that. So I'm very much into smart glasses. I'm a proponent of them, but I'm also a proponent of privacy. What are your thoughts, Dan?
That's a tough one, because I think if you value your privacy and you don't want to be recorded, although it may be clear in some instances that a person is recording you, how long until that's either disabled, whether it's, you know, a custom setting that someone figures out how to turn on and off, or just a physical thing that prevents it from being obvious, like you're in a dark room or something like that, the person's able to hide. So I definitely understand the privacy concern. And I think everyone should have the option and know whether or not they're being recorded in whatever circumstance.
I will say one caveat to that, Daniel, is that here in the United States, those laws are primarily decided by the states. And for example, I live in Oklahoma. We have a one-party consent law, which means it's legal for you to record someone or a conversation because you were the one that has consent. So it's going to vary depending on where you are. But yeah, we'll pay attention to this and see what happens.
I'm going to stop the clip there. But if you want to hear more AI news, look for the podcast AI News You Should Know About wherever you get podcasts. That is going to do it for today's episode. Be sure to come back on Monday when we break down what the head of Instagram shared on his recent Ask Me Anything. As always, thank you for listening.
Let's get it. The year was 2013. You posted your first pic and you're glad your post got seen. Your friends liked it too, but what you didn't know is what posting on that platform would do. Taking all your time and attention, doom scrolling. Also, let me mention, you gotta post on every platform, putting content on every set just to conform. Likes gave you validation and you got hooked. Now engagement is down, you feeling overlooked. Coming back for more podcasts and find me on Instagram at Daniel Hill Media.